Radio Africana.
Your non-stop entertainment.
Yeah. Yo. I go by the name of Mario Winans. And this is the moment you've all been waiting for. Yeah. I bring to you my auntie, CC Winans. Yo, CC, drop that verse.
That you think you can't pray after that mistake, but I know it's the only way you can make it better. And I know situations get too much for you to take, and you feel like you won't break, and it makes you say, I can't take it. Ooh, well, things get better. Ooh, I'm so frustrated, but it's gonna be okay, 'cause you got someone in your corner. Ooh, gonna be there for.
Good morning, and top of the morning to all our listeners. Yes, you're welcome to another edition of Morning Dew, and you are tuned in to Radio Africana. We want to thank God for the privilege that is today. Father, we thank you for the opportunity of coming again to be able to fellowship, to glean from the scriptures. We just want to commit our time unto you, thanking you, Lord, for your faithfulness. Thank you for your loving kindness. Thank you for your tender mercies. Of your mercies we are not consumed. Thank you for all our listeners that have tuned in today. Thank you for how far you brought us in our journey in walking with you as our creator, walking with you, our savior, walking with you, the one who is the author and the finisher of our faith. We just commit our session today unto you, Lord. Ask that you take full control. We ask for the abundance of the presence of your spirit to guide us into all truths. And at the end of it, Lord, may we have abundant reasons to give you praise, to appreciate you for the things that only you could have done. Lord, we ask that you accept us and accept our thanks in Jesus' name. We remember those who for one reason or the other cannot be with us today. Lord, we ask that you will be with them wherever they are. Lord, remember them. Grant them their heart's desire. Lord, whether that be healing, restoration, you know, whatever it is they're looking and believing you for, I pray, Lord, that you meet them at the point of their need in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Right. Good morning, lovely people, and welcome to another edition of Morning Dew. We're just continuing off from last week. We were looking, we're still in our series of walking with the Lord, but we came to an interesting end of a long series we have been doing in the book of Samuel, looking at the lives of a couple of kings, King Saul, King David, King Achish, you know, and the, you know, centrality of the ultimate King of Glory that is just orchestrating and guiding the affairs of all these kings, and the importance of his presence, his guidance, his counsel in our lives. So today we're moving on, and a couple of things just came to mind when we're talking about walking with the Lord. So we want to go down to some basic fundamentals, but there's something I just want to point out at this stage. As we walk, you know, as we journey each day in our lives, you know, in our journey in walking with the Lord, we've got different seasons. We've walking in time. We're in this three-dimensional, you know, existence. So time, matter, space, yes, we're in that three-dimensional existence, but we have different seasons, just like the seasons, you know, summer, winter, autumn, you know, and spring. You know, there are different seasons, they have different weathers, and so there are different things you can do within a particular season. And one of the things that is so important to just make a note of here, you know, is that in certain seasons, when we're young, the Lord is still beckoning to us. We're being invited, you know. There are many things the Lord is wooing us, that's the right word I'd like to use there, trying to get our attention. Remember Moses and the burning bush? Yep, trying to get our attention, you know. And so in the early parts of our lives, the early seasons, this is something we have to be sensitive to. Several times we wake up at certain hours, certain times we have dreams, you know, diverse promptings from the spirit realm to get our attention to respond, so that this journey of walking with the Lord, we can start early. And you know, with hindsight, you may find that you probably didn't, you know, pick up on any of those signs early. So when we're talking about walking with the Lord, it's important to just make that, you know, clear, that season, and how we have to be sensitive so that we are, you know, quite on our guard, we're alert to these promptings. We know the Bible says that all things work together for good for them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. So whether you come in early or later, or you recognize certain things, the Lord is still doing a lot in us and through us concerning our walk and relationship with him. All right, so remind of a story. This is just for reference now, and this is the story in Luke chapter 15 about the prodigal son. And in the case of this young man, what happened is he squandered the gifts and the inheritance he had very early, you know, and he lived a riotous life. And so there are many things that God has given to each and every one of us as an inheritance, you know, and we may not appreciate the value early. We may squander it, including our time, and it's our life and part of our destiny. These precious gifts that God has given to us, I pray that we'll all be sensitive in our walk with the Lord, to be sensitive to his prompting, to recognize, to be alert, to be, you know, teachable, coachable, malleable, so that the walk, the great walk, the word the Lord wants to do with us, you know, is able to start off early with us. We'll have a lot of time to learn, you know, and we'll be able to apply ourselves. I pray this for each and every one of our listeners in Jesus' name. Okay, so having said that, one of our goals is highlighted in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, one of the real end goals, as it were, when we're walking with the Lord, is highlighted in Ephesians chapter 4. And I just take a few verses as a kind of text for what we want to be looking at in today's session. Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 11, starting from 11, Ephesians chapter 4 from 11, he said, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers." Verse 12 says, "For the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity, okay, of the faith, right, and in and of the knowledge of the Son of God, a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now it's a mouthful there, but basically he gave gifts to men, and if you look at all those gifts, they are actually men. They just have men, you know, verse 8 gave some apostles, so men in particular roles, so that these men have gifting. Some have the grace of an apostle, some have the grace of prophets, some have the grace of evangelists, some have the grace of pastors, and some have the grace of teachers. And it was for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry and for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith. All right, so there's a couple of things we want to look at: the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, and unto a perfect man, and ultimately to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So this is contained in Ephesians chapter 4. I've just read verses 11 to 13. Right, so the ultimate goal of our spiritual maturity for believers is that we are growing to become a complete and fully developed unit. So like a plant that is growing, a fruit that, you know, a seed that is planted, you're hoping it will come to the complete fullness of its development as a unit, you know. So whatever the processes are, whatever it has to go through, you know, and ultimately for us, the Bible is expecting that we'll be reflecting the perfect humanity of Christ. He was our perfect example, and becoming a unified body of Christ. So each one of us, just like the different men and women with different graces is given to the body, is to equip each and every one of us, to train us, to build our competencies in our different graces, our different means of expressing the very nature of God, till we become a unified body that fully expresses his presence in our world. You know, so it's a tall order, but it's nothing that the Holy Spirit cannot handle. And that's why I said that very early in our walk and our journey with him, he's prompting us, he's trying to get our attention, he's trying to usher us in to a relationship where we can be sensitive to his leading, his guidance, and we can be sensitive to some of these giftings and these graces that are made available for the perfecting of the saints within the body of Christ. You know, we've always shared on this platform about giving expression to the very nature and the attributes of our Creator. We constantly, you know, emphasize that as our assignment as living witnesses. So we are supposed to be living witnesses to our world of the very nature of the one whose spirit dwells on the inside of us, you know. And so this process involves individual believers maturing. It involves us growing in their faith, their knowledge of God, and participating in the unified building up of the church as a diverse yet interconnected entity under Christ as the head. So Christ is the head. He is the head of the body. We are all members of that body, and we're, you know, fulfilling our different roles within this entity, you know, organism, you know, called the body of Christ. So you see, like we said at the beginning, he gave gifts to men, all right? And these men had roles with different graces. So church leaders, whether they be apostles, okay, prophets, evangelists, are to equip believers to serve in order to build up the community of believers. All right, so this verse that we've looked at, you know, adds three additional reasons that we've highlighted, but just to, you know, look at it from a different perspective. First, the apostle wants believers to live in unity. the apostle is emphasizing here that believers have to live in unity. Okay, so the Bible also says that God commands a blessing where there is unity. So it is important to keep, you know, the unity within the body, you know, as a central focus. Right, so unity is based on the essentials of our faith. So this unity is based on the essentials of our faith. What are these essentials? That's what we have to study. We have to come to understand what those essentials are, what the fundamentals are, what is required of us, what are the expectations that our Creator expects from us, so that we can be, you know, fully approved to carry out our assignment. 2 Timothy 2:15 talks about study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that be not ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So there is the word of truth, there's the studying of the word. We need to be able to divide it properly, that study it properly. And that's because there's all manner of winds of doctrine, that's all schools of thought. So you must be quite familiar, like the Berean Christians, in understanding the scriptures, the actual interpretation, and knowing that you have access through the redeemed, you know, redemption plan. You have access to the Spirit of God. And the Bible says, for we know not what to pray for, how to pray for, Romans 8:26, but the Spirit helped us to pray, the Spirit helped us to understand. The Spirit is the one we acknowledge when we have our sessions to guide us into all truth, you know. And so we know that we have that, but we come to that understanding through the essentials that are, you know, well established within the scripture. So if we meditate, if we study properly, then we understand the essentials of our faith, and you know, we recognize how to apply ourselves properly, okay, to what is necessary for us to believe. We also build our discernment so that we know what it is that is not true, because all types of trajectories, all types of schools of thoughts, all types of doctrines are out there. And if you are not grounded in the word yourself, then you are open to be tossed to and fro, the Bible says, by every wind of doctrine. All right, so it's important that we have this very establishment in the essentials of faith, just so that we have the unity, you know. And so you'll hear things like, where cometh all this strife among you? You should know that the way you ought to conduct yourself, the way you ought to behave, ought to be different, you know. Why are we behaving like those who are not born again? Why are we behaving like those that have no God? Why are we behaving like those that have no hope? There must be certain things that cause us to be distinguished, distinguish us from others, to distinguish that we have a different system. You know, we distinguish that we're led by the Spirit, to distinguish that we have the great Spirit of the living God walking in us, teaching us, and that is evident that our lives are being transformed. We'll take a break right now, and then we'll come back and look into this ultimate goal that is being emphasized in Ephesians chapter 4, looking at verses 11 to 13. Catch you on the flip side of the break.
Are you Lord God Almighty?
Morning. If you're just joining us, you're welcome to Morning to You. Lovely track there, lovely track. Nothing like the classicals, you know, when it comes to adoration and worship. But we just thank God for this is people's sensitivity to the promptings of the Spirit, and they've been inspired to write words like this that put songs together of, you know, praise and adoration. And I pray it just ministers to each and every one of us. Okay, we're looking at, you know, our ultimate goal in our walk with the Lord, that we might grow, we might mature, we might come to certain understanding. And we're just going to Ephesians chapter 4. And we looked at verses 11 to 13. Right, so one of the second things in those three verses that the apostle was talking about, believers are to grow in knowledge. You know, the Bible talks about I might know him, and the, you know, fellowship, you know, the resurrection, his fellowship, what he's gone through, you know, and the power that's released as a result of what he's gone through. There's a lot to know about the Son of God, knowledge of the Son of God. You know, the focus of our church leaders is also in preparing Christians to serve others in practical ways. I want to spend some time on this because it's very important. It's not for us to come, sit down, and expect perpetually we're going to be fed. No, you get in Slabut Pakamp, you're giving some essentials of faith, you're giving some fundamentals, you establish some foundations, okay? And on the strength of what you have learned, you are meant to apply yourself and go out to reach out to others, even as you're growing, even as you're learning, even as you increase your knowledge. knowledge in practical ways. And so what we're trying to share on this channel here, you know, to different people, that we want to make sure that we are doing our bit in evangelism, we're doing our bit in sharing with others, we're doing our bit when it comes to teaching, we're doing our bit when it comes to ultimately leaving a legacy, you know, for those that were behind us. What will be said about you? What contributions would you have made? These are very important. You have to start thinking about them now, so that in your walk with the Lord each day, there are things you're doing so that at the end of your days, at the end of your journey, you will leave an imprint in this, you know, sands of time. You will leave a legacy. There's things that, you know, will benefit your world even after you've left. And I pray that the Lord grant each one of us the capacity to build a legacy that is lasting. You know, and when you even come to things like leadership, taking the initiative, you know, you can't give people what you don't have. You can't teach them what you've never learned. You cannot walk in things that you have not experienced yourself and try to impart that to others. It's not going to work. You know, so there's a lot we have to learn if we're going to be serving others in practical ways. And yet knowledge is a critical and important aspect of effective service. All right, so we talked about maturing, you know, we mentioned in the scripture we read a few minutes that we're developing this maturity, you know, so that we can have something to offer in ministry, in the work that we do. Thirdly, the apostle wants believers to grow in maturity. Obviously, now Paul is not referring to just the biological growth. Expected that we'll all will grow biologically, yes. Instead, it means spiritual growth. So emphasis is on spiritual growth, which includes the increase in the fruit of the Spirit. So we have this in Galatians chapter 5 and verses 22-23. Although it starts earlier, where it's in verse 16. It says, If then walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So there's the walking in the Spirit. We're talking about walking with the Lord. Okay, so if we know that we're not going to walk in the flesh, we will not be led by our flesh, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, then we have to walk in the Spirit. Okay, so that you do not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's Galatians 5 verse 16. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. That's verse 18. All right, so just something to read there. But coming down to 22, it says the fruit of the Spirit. So we're led by the Spirit. There is a fruit of the Spirit. So the fruit of the Spirit is joy, is love. I beg your pardon. Joy, peace, long suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Okay, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. So now, if you are not under the law, and you're led by the Spirit, and you have the Spirit in you, then there must be evidence, there must be fruitfulness, there must be maturing, okay, of your spiritual growth, evidence of your spiritual growth, all right, which includes the increase in the fruit of the Spirit. So like I said at the beginning, because we're being led by the Spirit, we're walking with the Lord, we have in us the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, working on the inside of us, then we know that there ought to be a change. We're not governed by, you know, the teachings of the law, all right? But Christ has fulfilled all the requirements of the law, and so we're living in a new nature, we're living in a new, you know, way. He says we come before him, we have access in the new and the living way by the shed blood of Jesus. So this new way, this new life with all its fruits and the evidence that you are growing, that you are mature, must be on display. The Bible says that by their fruits we will know them, you know. So it's not something that we play lip service to. If we have the Spirit on the inside of us, if we are not led, you know, if we're led by the Spirit and we're not under the law, then we must become, you know, carriers or produce evidence of this new life within us. Okay, so let's look at Matthew 22. I want to look at something in Matthew 22. Give me some time here. Matthew 22, okay? I'm looking at 37 to 40. Right, we'll have a read now. Now, Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it as well. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commands, okay, hang all the law and the prophets." So again, we see that all the law and the prophets, you know, are summarized in this new way we live under these two commandments. Love the Lord your God, okay? Love the Lord your God, okay, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. That's the first commandment. And the second is that you should love your neighbors as yourself. So you will see, and I think we mentioned earlier, last week at some point, that God is love. You know, that encompasses the very nature. Everything about him is love. Everything is demonstrating his love. Everything shows the love of God. We can go into Corinthians chapter 13 chapter to look at the definition of love. It's not the way the world trends it. It's not the way the world sells it to us, you know. And says, while the Pharisees were, right, so that's what we're just trying to point out, okay, 37 to 40, right. So again, we see, you know, we're being encouraged to grow, all right, in our knowledge. We're being encouraged to grow in maturity, you know, our love for both God and others. So there are many things that the Bible teaches us, so that if we're going to, you know, become vessels unto honor, we're going to become living testimonies, we're going to become living witnesses. The very nature of the Spirit of God that's on the inside of us must have, you know, that expression in and through us to our world. So important, okay? So, right, being filled with his attributes, right, and ministering from an overflow is an essential end goal for all true believers. All right, so being filled with his Spirit, right, with all his attributes, you know, and being able to minister from an overflow, that is, out of your fullness, out of the abundance, you are able to release grace to those that come in contact with you. The words you speak, the counsel you give, the behavior, your attitude, they all release life, because there's a fullness within you of the very life of God that is finding expression in you, through you, overflowing to those that have, you know, an encounter with you. May the Lord help us to truly be vessels that can be used, you know, in this dimension. You know, so we're looking at the end goal of being full, okay, of Christ, or the fullness of Christ. Just for some notes, Ephesians chapter 1, 23. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 23 and Ephesians chapter 3 verse 19. You know, for those taking notes, if we have some time, we'll look at it in some detail. Now, so what does all of this mean? To be renewed in the spirit of your mind, which is what Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 23 is urging us. There must be a renewal, okay, in the spirit of our mind. As a man thinketh, so he is. So if there is an impact of the redemptive work on each and every one of us, it must be demonstrated, you know, in the renewal of our mind. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, you know, and so there must be a yielding to the new way, a yielding to that expectation the Lord has for each and every one of us, if we're going to grow and mature in the things of the Spirit, you know. And so it's so important that we are acquainted with these fundamentals from the Scripture. In this verse, the apostle identifies the way Christians can separate themselves from sin. We saw that in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 22. It says that ye put off concerning the former conversation. So there has to be a change in the way you think. We've just looked at the renewing of your mind, the spirit of your mind. There has to be a change in the way you think. There has to be a change in your former conversation. There has to be a change in your behavior. There has to be a determination to meet the expectations of the one that has called you. You know, there has to be an expectation, okay, that you would be conformed to his commandments. That's why we're reading and studying what his commandments are. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, your renewed mind, and your neighbor as yourself. So these are expectations. So, you know, studying to show yourself approved is absolutely fundamental for any Christian that is going to grow, okay, you know, in the knowledge of the Son of God, that is going to grow in maturity, that wants to live in the unity as we have been asked in the scriptures, you know, or admonished in the scriptures in Ephesians chapter 4 and looking at verses 11 to 13. Okay, so it's important that we mention these fundamentals so that it's not just an expectation. What does this really mean? What is it that we need to do? What has it made available to us so that this transformation is possible? So the Bible makes us to understand that this transformation is only possible through Christ. So Christ is that foundation. And the Bible says, on no other foundation can any man build. So the foundation, okay, has already been laid, and that is Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, you know, helps us to understand this, you know, that there is a foundation that has already been laid. For those who have come to know him as Savior, this is very fundamental. So let's look at Ephesians chapter 2. And we'll try and take a couple of verses there. Okay. Verse 8 says, for by grace you have been saved. It's Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8. It says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your doing. It is the gift of God. Again, we see the gift of God. There is what God has done. It's not something we have earned. It's not something that we desire. Well, no, we deserve. That's the right word. It's not something we deserve or that we have earned. But it is the gift of God. It's out of the goodness of God. So by his grace, that's God divine, you know, unmerited favor. You know, mercy has just given you that qualification to be one that deserves the grace of God, to one that deserves the goodness of God, one that deserves the compassion of God. All right, so by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God. So like he gave gifts to men, the Lord has released a grace so that what we're not able to do on our own, then he's empowered us, he's enabled us. That's God's greatest, you know, riches, the Bible says. Teachers, scholars put it, God's riches at Christ's expense. You have been given the opportunity, we've been given a privilege. So each day we live this life, we're given an opportunity and a privilege through the grace of God to become who God has called you to be. He says, not of works, so that no man may boast. Okay, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ for good works. So we're his workmanship, so he's doing a work in us. Okay, he will manifest his nature and attributes in and through us for good works, okay, which God had prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. This is Ephesians chapter 2, and we've just looked at verses 6 to 8. All right, so I really hope that communicates. Now, Paul often speaks of the importance of being renewed, particularly in one's thinking. You know, we've looked at this severally in Romans chapter 12, verses 1. And brethren, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present yourself a living sacrifice. All right, so every time we come before the presence of the Lord, we present ourselves so that this great work of the Lord, of transforming our lives, of causing us to become change agents, to cause us to be agents not only of change, but that can communicate effectively, demonstrate the love of God, the life of God, the authority and the power of God, not only in us but through us to our world. That is what we present ourselves. We come in alignment even with that, you know, end goal in this growing, this maturing in the things of God. We'll take another break now. I will come back for the last lap of our session today, and we'll see what we can glean just before the end of the program. See you after the break.
Close to you, never let me go. I lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm afraid. You are my desire. No one else will do, 'cause nothing else can take your place. To feel the warmth of your embrace, help me find a way, bring me back to you.
Welcome back. You're just joining us. We had a lot to break. There's a lovely song, you know, Draw Me Close to You, You're All I Want. You know, I pray that the Lord will be the central in your desires, in all that you desire, You know, let it be your relationship with him. Let it be a yielding, a hunger and a thirst, you know, for righteousness. You know, the Lord is faithful who has called you. The Lord is faithful. He will transform you. The Lord is faithful who's called you into this journey. And each step of the righteous, the Bible says, is ordered by the Lord. And I pray that the Lord will really draw us closer. You have to draw close to him and he will draw you closer. Okay, so we're looking at another interesting verse of scripture here. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I'm reading from verse 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13. It says, "And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe, and therefore I spoke." Okay, we also believe and therefore speak. Right? Now, verse 14 says, "Knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with him and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace having spread through the many may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God." Verse 15. So all that, you know, these men have been through, remember, he gave gifts to men. Their teachers, their apostles, their, you know, evangelists, their pastors, for the equipping of the saints. There's a role they play. They are, you know, empowered, they're anointed, they're graced, they have anointing, they have special unction, and these are to equip every member within the body of Christ. You know, and like we said earlier, you know, the importance of being renewed, particularly in one's thinking. You know, we talk about Romans 12 verses 1 and 2, "I beseech you, brethren," every time you stand before the presence of your Maker, okay, the one who has allowed you, okay, to have, it says, "Since we all have the same spirit of faith according to what is written." All right, so he has allowed you to be beneficiaries of the same spirit of faith, the same spirit that raised Jesus. So the possibility, the likelihood, the probability of you being able to give expression to the life, the attribute, authority and power of the God that is finding expression in and through you is there, because Christ came to demonstrate that it's possible. So you are gifted, you are blessed. You may not know what it is you are gifted with. You may not know what it is you are blessed with. You may not know what it is you carry. You may not be aware of the unction that is within you. But these giftings of these men will activate, will point, will stir up, will train, will empower, will bring you to an understanding of not only who you are in Christ, what it is you have as an inheritance, how to walk in this relationship with the same spirit that raised Jesus, so that you can give expression to the very life of Christ in you and through you. And of course, like anything else, we're growing. You know, the scripture says we're growing in this understanding, we're growing in the knowledge, we're growing in a relationship, we're growing and maturing in our walk with the Lord. And I pray that the Lord will help us to really grasp this fully, you know, that this is what we're called to do, and all that you need for your journey is invested in you. It's just a journey of discovery. And like I said at the beginning of our, you know, session today, we've got seasons where the Lord is beckoning you. The Lord is trying to get your attention. The Lord is calling you, "Come up here, let me show you something." He shows you a dream. He, you know, nudges you to wake up and to pray, to be sensitive, to listen to his voice. You hear whispers. You know, we've been studying the journey. There's some communication in one way, shape or form. My prayer today is that we will be sensitive to the prompting of the Spirit of God within us. We'll be sensitive to yielding to his ministry to guide us into all truth, to teach us, to bring to remembrance. He cannot bring to remembrance anything you've not had a session with him about. So it's stuff you have spent time to study the scriptures, to meditate, for him to teach you. Then he can bring to remembrance. Then he can explain things to you. Then he can guide you into all truth. Then he can show you how to use the giftings, the anointing, the grace that upon you, and you too can grow and mature and become another gift to other men, you know. And this scripture we just read here, it says, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus, you know, at the end in his presence. And it's going to bring many souls to a point where when they think of the goodness of God, when they consider the compassion of God, when they consider the mercy of God, it will just release within them spontaneous praise, because that which was sown in them as a seed is now beginning to blossom, is now beginning to bear fruit, is now beginning to bring about change. There's now transformation. We can see a change in their thinking. We can see a change in their talking. We can see a change in their behavior. We can see a change in their attitude. We can see a change in the way they converse, their conversation. You know, a whole lot of changes are taken as vessels yield themselves to the great ministry and the redemptive work, you know, that the Lord wants to do in each and every one of us. I really pray that we will yield ourselves, as we've spoken extensively, to this process of the Lord, okay, willingly. If we're willing, if we're obedient, we too will eat of the good of the land. So every seed that is sown will bring forth, will manifest its own harvest in due season. Though the vision tarry, it will not tarry. There is a time appointed, and that which you are going through now, that seed you are sowing right now, will give expression. It will bring forth its fruits that will be evident, that will be tangible, that all men around you will see. I pray that the Lord in the rest of 2025 will take you through this walk with him, will bring you greater understanding of what it is to yield yourself even to the Spirit of the Living God, for him to do a great transformative work within you, to present yourself daily as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. The Bible says it is your reasonable sacrifice. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord cause his countenance to shine upon each and every one of you. I pray that the words that we've shared today, may they release grace to everyone who is hearing. May it empower you. May it energize you. May it bring insight. May it bring revelation. May it bring understanding. Those that are in business, in enterprise, entrepreneurs, I pray the Lord give you witty ideas for witty innovations, witty, you know, concepts, you know, to be able to stretch your coast, enlarge your coast, to enlarge your territory, to take more market share in whatever it is you're doing. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord cause you to, you know, be stable. You know, your stability ministers so much to people around you. May your leadership be inspirational to those that you lead. May you be an example for those of you in your families, in your homes. I pray that in your relationships, that you would become that which the other is anticipating, so that you can work together, complement one another, even in the family. May your family grow. May you all be fruitful. May you have, you know, have testimonies in every sphere of your lives of the goodness of God, of the power of God, of the greatness of God in and through you to your world. Till we meet again, same time, lovely people, okay, on the same channel. It's been a lovely time being with you today. I hope you've been blessed or had a lot of scriptures to study today. So spend some time and do some due diligence. Until we meet again, same time, God bless you and bye for now.
Someone's knocking at the door. Someone's knocking at the door. Can you hear him knocking? Can you hear him knocking? He's been knocking very long. He's been knocking for so long. Can you hear him knocking? Can you hear him knocking? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. He's at the door. He's at the door. Someone's calling out your name. Calling time and time again. Can you hear him calling? Can you hear him calling? Calling very long. He's been calling for so long. Can you hear him calling? He's been calling you. It's Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. He's at the door. He's at the door. Don't let him walk away.
Don't let him walk away.
He's so patient, but don't take a chance. All you need to do is open the door. Let him take his rightful place, so he can change your world.
Great Radio Africana.
For there's
faithful, ever true. Oh, my love, my heart, my life is a testimony.